Great day, great day. This is Tammy J with The Texture of Me. Welcome to the show. Our show provides a place where people can voice their experiences and having dealt with discrimination because of the texture of their hair. Great day, great day. This is Tammy J with The Texture of Me. Welcome to our show. I am so ecstatic, excited to have Dr. M. Billy Shaka on our show. Oh my gosh. You know, just thank you for being here. I'm just so moved that you took the time to be here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I feel your enthusiasm and energy through the screen. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. You know, when I have people on my show, I just appreciate them taking the time to be here. I really acknowledge who you are and what the work that you're doing. Oh man, I remember just reading your bio and what you're up to and impacting the industry, especially with natural hair. You know, it's just like, wow. And it's psychotherapy, right? That's what I want to make sure I pronounce it right. And just, I'm so moved by the work you're doing all over the world, impacting people. And the thing that really like resonated with me so much is the point that you use hair as a way of an opening point to mental service and beauty salons and, you know, barbershop, but really getting with how hair really impacts us mentally. You know, and when I saw that, I was like, what? I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. I've been talking about this for a minute. And it's like, oh my gosh, like we're so connected. I love what she's doing. So, you know, I can go on and on who you are for me, just the impact you're making in the world and just so inspiring. I mean, and then, you know, it's funny because as I'm working on my dissertation, I remember seeing your name as I'm doing my articles and stuff, right? You know how we have to cite everything? And then when I got present to the article, I'm like, I read this one before. Oh, my God. You know, so it's like, what? This is so awesome. So anyway, I'm so excited, as you can tell, for being on the show. So do tell us, you know, more about yourself. One of the things I like to have, I have this platform for people to share their natural hair journey. What was yours like for you growing up?
Okay, great question. Well, I always had natural hair. So I never chemically relaxed my hair because my mother wouldn't let me. I have a lot of positive early memories with my mom surrounding my hair. On Sunday nights, she would always wash and braid my hair. And it was our ritual. I'm the youngest of four children. And so this was the one-on-one time that I craved. And it was actually through the hair care process. So my mom would let me have some authority or choice in how my hair was done. She let me pick the number of braids. So that was I'm like five and she's like, how many braids do you want? I'm like three. Or she would say, how many braids this week? And I'm like seven. And so she would come up with like a seven braid pattern, or I'm like, you know, five, whatever it was. And so I felt like I chose the style to some degree. And so she was very gentle. My memories of my mom was very gentle, was good at detangling, but I don't remember her ever like hitting me with a brush or a comb or anything.
You're so blessed. You don't even know.
And so I have really positive early memories. Of course, when I was a teenager, I'm like, please let me get a perm. I need it. And she's like, no, you don't need it. Right. Even though my mom's hair was straight and chemically straight, she didn't want me to go through that process. Wow. And so I can remember in college and like graduate school feeling pressure to have straightened hair, but I just never did it. And I recognized that my hair was a big part of my identity and I didn't want to change it. So even for like my wedding day, my hair was big and natural, things that maybe I had pictured going a little bit differently. But at that point, it was like the peak of the natural hair movement. And so I felt comfortable. But that I recognized that having natural hair is a big part of who I am.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because I remember starting off with the texture of me. I was so about, I wanted to hear the trauma that people had, you know? And so I'd have people on the show and when they wouldn't have trauma, I'm like, I can't even use this now, you know? But it was like a revelation for me. I'm like, it always have to be bad. It could just be a journey.
Yeah, you know,
and we need to express it. But it was something for me to take in. Like, people actually have positive experience with their natural hair journey, you know?
Yes, I do. It's interesting because I could remember more so interracial issues versus intraracial, because I know a lot of people that I work with describe sort of black on black violence when it comes to hair, in terms of being mistreated or being called the other N-word, right?
And
thinking about some of the trauma that can go along there. But for my personal experiences, the people who talk negatively about my hair were not black. And so I'm even recognizing within black communities, maybe I have a certain level of like privilege because I have a looser curl pattern or longer hair, that I don't have 4C hair or something like that. But yeah, white people and Asian people, Asian Americans that I lived with or worked with, were more so trying to touch it and trying to criticize it. And so I think that's a little bit unique in terms of my story.
Gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty exciting. And, you know, but like, and I appreciate that you sharing that story. Cause I know with me, I don't know if you know that, like, you know, my mom's actually Korean and she has curly hair. Right. And people are like, what? But it's like, you know, being in the hair industry, which I know you're familiar with, cause you're a licensed hairstylist as well. I love it. And, the process of the impact of how hair has on us, you know, people don't know that 70% of women have some type of textured hair, and it continues to grow because people are identifying it more, because they thought frizzy brushed out hair was actually still straight hair and not actually some type of textured hair, you know? So, I really get that people are not aware, you know, and they want to know more. And, you know, with the whole Crown Act, which I appreciate, you know, is bringing that awareness in its own way, you know, and as far as, but there's that part that's missing that I think, I know you speak about, and I speak about, there's a mental part that people have not talked about, not even mentioning, or not, I mean, just nothing, you know, and it's a big deal. And, you know, before I go into more of that, I really would love for you to share more about, psychotherapy, like what had you to develop that, and, you know, more about it.
Okay, yeah, great. Thanks for asking about the origin story, because I know each of us have a story about how hair connects to mental health. For me, I always loved doing hair. So I would have like a lawn chair at family cookouts and my cousins would line up and I just create all these styles. And then when I was in college, I always loved doing my friend's hair. So people would come to my dorm room and I just start going away. But it's interesting because I never charged anyone. I just liked the process of doing hair. And so I was also a psychology major. And I remember talking to my Aunt Brenda on the phone one day, she's now an ancestor, and telling her I had a dilemma for after I graduate. I asked her, I'm like, should I study psychology or should I study hair? And she said, well, why can't you do both? Now, I don't think she was telling me to do both at the same exact time,
right,
but that's the way I interpreted it and thought, I can do hair and therapy together. And so that was sort of the birth of psychotherapy in my college dorm room. And so I went on to a PhD program in clinical psychology at Howard University, but I still had that hair passion. And so it wasn't until after I got licensed as a psychologist, after I got a tenure track position as a professor, after I started my own therapy private practice, that I then went to hair school. So I felt like I kind of did it in a different order, but I had already established myself as a psychologist and then entered the hair care industry. And so they mix really well together. So some of the same skill sets still applied in that caretaking role. So I recognize that it could be my role and responsibility then to hold therapy, individual and group, in salons and barbershops, but then also to train hair care professionals in micro counseling skills and mental health first aid. So that's really where I've been like finding my sweet spot.
Gotcha.
Doing this work.
Gotcha. Yeah, so appreciate it, because, you know, what a lot of people are not aware of, that the beauty industry does not teach about textured hair at all. And, you know, I share like with my journey, you know, is hairstylist and into psychology. Mm-hmm. And it was that point where I decided to go natural, and I share the story, but I'll keep sharing it, you know, cause it's so transformational, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it's mine. And I, like I said, I had a client, I'm doing her hair naturally. And you know, here's my hair blown out. And mm-hmm. she's going to ask me, why you don't wear your hair curly? I'm like, can you stay in your own lane, please? You know what I mean? It was like, what's she doing trying to tell me? And then I had to reflect, why am I not? Mm. And it was just something where, you know, the beauty I saw for everybody else, I didn't see it for me.
Yeah.
And to wear my hair natural. And I remember like when I decided to do it, I was like, cause you know, I'm a hairstyle. I can change my hair up anyway. I can straighten it. So let me go on this journey. And oh my gosh, when I went through the process and the mental part that I saw, I was crying, didn't want to look at myself in the mirror. Mm. And I appreciate the psychology background because it gave me this thing like, oh no, like something's not right here. Something's wrong, something's going on. You got some mental things you're dealing with, you know? And I'm like, and it's funny because as I discovered it, right, like, does anybody else know, you know? It's just like, well, maybe. But in that, I decided to have conversations with my clients. And the moment, you know, as we talked and I saw the emotion that came with it, that's when I knew I had something. And that's mm-hmm. what had me like going into this field and bringing the awareness of the impact that hair discrimination has on people with textured hair.
Mm.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, just looking at what you're doing. And I love the fact that you are supporting hairstylists to be educated in this field, you know, just really have an awareness because it does, you know, it's this big question mark where how is that majority of people have some type of textured hair and it's not being taught?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I even discovered, it was a level of segregation because, you know, if you don't know how to do the person here, they're not going to go over there, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, I just think about just, wow, the articles you've done, the books you've done, and I've seen it, and it's all relating to that. And I'm just so inspired, like, what you're doing. And it's just, mm-hmm. I don't know how to put it in words. Do share more. Like, you know, I know it said you testified naturally on behalf of the Crown Act. How was that?
Well, that's the thing. It's interesting to think about going from lawn chairs to Congress, right?
Right.
On the same exact topic of Black hair. Yeah, I had been doing research in my psychology research lab for a few years on hair and hair discrimination and hair loss and all these different hair related topics. And so in 2019, when New York City was proposing a version of the Crown Act, and then later that same year, Senator Holly Mitchell in California was proposing it to the California State Senate, that I'm like, wait, there's a thing, a bill, a law? And so I was in Washington, D.C. at the time. And so I'm like, okay, let me lean into my political connections or something. And I was reaching out to people who I knew were like political aides. And I'm like, who is running the Crown Act? I want to be involved in this. This is exactly what I study. And so they connected me to someone who was really leading the Crown Act, Adjoa Asamoah, and she partnered with Dove and got all this funding. And so she immediately met me for lunch. She had me in Cory Booker's office like the next day. I'm like, okay, this happened really fast. Mm. And so from there, I actually got to give physical copies of my articles over to his staff. Mm. And then they started identifying me as a subject matter expert. Mm. On the psychology of Black hair. Mm. And so I got to go testify in specific state senates, mm-hmm. like New Jersey, Maryland, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Connecticut, Delaware. Like, so I was being pulled into in person testify and then virtually during the pandemic. I think only about 17 or 18 states at this point have passed the Crown Act. So there's still a lot more to do. And it passed in the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. but not in the Senate. So even recognizing that this is not federal law, that it is very state specific. So it is legal
mm-hmm.
in this country to actually discriminate against someone based on having natural hair.
Mm.
We're still at that point. So
that's crazy. I mean, I'm in Texas and the only place the Crown Act is like approved is in Austin. I'm like, well, we have other cities, like, you know.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I'm like, this. But anyway, I don't want to go there. But I'm present too. It's like, you know, I had shared with you now, you know, with the texture of me recreated CE credits. So now cosmetologists in Texas can get CE credits on texture hair education. Yeah, right. Awesome. So, you know, it's just really present to where we're starting from and the, you know, the pioneer, you and I are like expanding this awareness and having people to see that there is an impact. And I'm, you know, reflecting back even with you, I was saying that I saw that you had where you were working with students on the research. Are you still doing that as well?
Yes. So a big part of my personal and professional agenda is to make sure that I train the next generation. Mm-hmm. Because when I was saying I wanted to study this topic, I was not getting support around it. Like, what? Hair doesn't matter. Because think about this. It was a while ago. I know I look pretty young, but.
Oh, yeah, that you do. Yes, you do.
I was like, what? But, you know, when I started graduate school at this point, almost 20 years ago, that people were like, you can't study hair. So I was really censored. And so part of my agenda then is to make sure that students have the skill set and the interest to be able to continue this work. And so on most of the papers that I've published in scientific journals, I include students as co-authors, whether they're undergraduate students or graduate students. A big thing that people don't always know is that at this point to get in graduate school or to get a job as a professor, you have to actually have articles published even beforehand. I never realized that, and I lost out on a lot of opportunities mm-hmm. in terms of where I could go to school or where I could work because I didn't have some extensive catalog of publications. And so I've made sure that any student that has worked with me on research gets a major publication in their mm-hmm. name, and that's sort of a ticket to be able to move forward in their career.
Oh, that's awesome. Because I was wondering, I was, you know, I see your name, but there's other people's names. So yeah, I was like, okay, well, great. The great collaboration. But that is so great to hear. Yeah. So thank you for that. That's a great idea that as I'm, you know, completing my PhD program to put that in and collectively, you know.
You trying to publish something with me?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Totally. Yes, please. I'm declaring that. I received that. Yes. I love that. Because, you know, really being present to that, it's a big deal. And, you know, it's like, it's funny, I see myself, I get moved by this, you know, whereas mm-hmm. I remember presenting this to my professors and I was like, what is hair and mental, you know, and then even texture hair, like, how does that go together? How does it not? You know, I remember growing up, you know, wanting to wear my hair straight or wearing it straight. And if my hair didn't look right, I'm not going nowhere, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and if it didn't look right, I didn't feel right, you know? And we know being in the beauty industry, they pay millions and billions of dollars, but it doesn't affect us mentally. Oh no, that, you know. And so with that being said, could you share what you've discovered and how hair, mental health and hair work together, coincide, or the impact of it all?
Yeah, I think it's actually a reciprocal relationship mm-hmm. that there are instances where someone's hair causes or triggers, or their hair experiences causes or triggers psychological distress. Mm-hmm. And there are moments where psychological distress can then trigger hair concerns. In terms of seeing the relationship between the two. To some degree, I think our hair is like a litmus test for what's going on inside of our minds, right? Mm-hmm. What we're thinking about, how we're behaving, how we're feeling. So that if we're in extreme levels of stress, what happens to our hair? That our hair can actually physically change, fall out, lose some of its density. Like just, you know, the chemistry of the hair can be altered.
Go gray. Okay.
So it responds, our hair actually responds to our thoughts and feelings, right? And especially our behaviors. But I'm also mindful that our hair is the most easily manipulated part of our bodies to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to understanding our racial phenotype, right? Because when we think about what makes up the physical expression of race, it's our skin color, our facial features, and our hair texture.
Right.
But we don't change our skin color day to day, right? If we have some racial incidents, that's some people skin bleach or put maybe lighter shades of makeup on, but it's very hard to change your skin color. Or let's say people don't like their how their lips are, or their nose, or their eyes, in terms of race, that it's hard to change your nose and lips day to day, but you without surgery, right? But someone could change their hair every single day if they wanted to. And so some people want to, you know, always have it straight, or only want it blonde, or, oh, you know, put pounds and packs of hair in it to represent maybe how they're feeling, or even how they want to look based on societal pressures. And so, again, I think that we use hair to communicate who we want to be. And sometimes there's alignment with that, because maybe you accept who you are and you can express yourself in that way. But other times, if there's a level of negative self-talk and criticism, that we're overly manipulating our hair to the point of destroying it, right? Wanting our edges so laid that it's literally pulling the hair out of your scalp. So I'm just thinking about that reflection, but also in learning to love and take care of your hair, that can also improve your mental health as well. I know I can spend a lot of time doing hair rituals, preparing myself for something, or I know that when my hair is moisturized and my ends are cut, that I'm usually in a better state of mental health than when things are frazzled, because it suggests that you're taking time to be with yourself and care for yourself. That it is a form of mental health care to really have a consistent hair care routine and ritual. So there's lots of ways to connect
it. And it's funny, because I really appreciate you saying that, because even when you said that, what I saw is that how our hair actually doesn't change. And it's the unique of who we are, because you can put a relaxer, but baby, it's going to grow back.
Yeah, I always like to say Africa always returns. Every 6 to 8 weeks, you cannot change that part of your identity.
Right, and it's the only thing that a person cannot permanently change. Thank you all for enjoying the show. The Texture of Me is proud and excited to announce the first ever Textured Hair Approved CE credits. You can find it at thetextureofme.com/education. When it's time to renew, you know what to do. Again, thank you so much for your support, and continue enjoying the show. Wow, that's I'm gonna leave that right there, and I'm gonna research more of that. Like, it's more, I'm really present to a spiritual thing to connect with that. Like, our hair is something that we can never permanently change. Wow, that says a lot about who we are with our hair, you know? That's something new. Thank you for sharing that, because that had me have insight on that. And that's really rich right there. Okay. I'm like, woo.
Layers, literally.
Yeah, layers. You know, and I tell people, what did I say? Hair's just hair, right? Or hair is just hair. Right? Exactly. And so, wow, that was really great and very insightful. And I love that, like, how that thought process triggered me thinking, you know?
But yeah, it's reciprocal, because I'm like, oh, yeah.
No, it could be changed as far as formation and a look, but it never, ever really changes. And there's one thing that's always consistent. Whew. Okay, I'm just going to put that to the side and let that marinate. Whatever message that comes with that, I'm going to just go with it. Let me just be present right now. Just really excited. What else did I want to ask you about? Now, are you still in the salon still, or you're not in the salon, or what are you doing with that?
No, I haven't been in the salon all of COVID. That was just a choice that I made to not have that type of physical intimacy and touch. I've been completely virtual, even as a therapist, all of COVID. I just was really into safety. I lost family members early on in the pandemic and just wanted to sort of isolate. But it actually then made me do more classes, like, and teach stylists and community members more through Zoom and things like that. So I felt like I actually got to reach and touch more people than just having clients in the salon a few days a week.
Gotcha. Well, I know I'm still in the salon, and a lot of my clients, knowing that I'm, you know, will be completing my program, have been really uneasy, you know. And I really decided I'm gonna stay in the industry until I feel complete, you know, because I realized that I actually enjoy doing the hair, and then I enjoy what I do. And it's funny because once I decided and I told them, I said, okay, I'm gonna stay in the salon. It was like, oh, thank you. I'm so happy, because where am I supposed to go? You know what I mean? I'm like, wow. Because the thing is, they want me to have my success as far as my PhD program, but they don't want me to leave them. Yeah. But that just really speaks on the impact that we're bringing about this education about textured hair and the impact it's having, and having someone to understand. And that's the key, because a lot of people don't understand. You know, when I think about a client comes in, a new client, and she's like, well, I want to cut off 4 inches. And, you know, she has textured hair. And she said, but I want to keep it long. No, ma'am. We are not going to, maybe even 2 inches. I said, no, because you cut off 2 inches and that's like 4 inches. You're not going to be upset with me. And I can't see how many times they come in and they're like so tense. And I look them face to face and be like, look, I got you. I know. I know what it's like. I got, and they just relax. Yeah. You know, and so when I think about what you're doing to even teach these hairstylists how this hair thing is actually a mental thing, that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
because we need more of hairstylists to understand that it's hair is not just hair, and especially us, you know, with our textured hair, we're so very particular. And all truth, you know, I work in a hair salon. I love my peeps, okay. And I'm the only African-American in there that does, you know, my hair and everything. And, but they're very educated and they're really supporting me in what I'm up to. That's which I love too. Right. But I'm not gonna lie. I don't let nobody do my hair. I don't. And it's a sacred thing to me. It's nothing against them, you know, but I don't want to do them like that. Cause the truth remains, it's like, if I could just sit there, and I think maybe there's still some traumatizing thing for me to deal with, you know, truthfully, you know? And so if a mistake is made, at least I did it, you know, but it's nothing against them. But have I had other people do my hair? Yeah. And this was when it was straight, you know? And, you know, sometimes they'd cut too much and Lord, I have a fit, but I wouldn't say nothing. I was like, it's going to grow back, you know? But anyhow, I digress. Really, it's just the point of really expressing that this is so needed, you know, and just the youth now are embracing their natural hair and how it's so important for them to fully accept who they are, because their hair is representative of who they are and how they identify themselves. Mm-hmm. And as you and I are discussing and really discovering, like, hair really never changes. Then it's like, oh, well, we surely need to keep this going, because it's a level of how we identify ourselves.
Yeah.
Our identity is self-identity, because it says our history. You know, when we do a drug test or when they want to do some type of testing, what's the first thing they do? Take a hair strand, right? So yeah, there's huge significance on how hair relates to mental health. Yeah. And if you tell a child that their hair is not beautiful, what are you telling that child? Mm. You know? So yeah, I just really thank you for the work that you're doing. And, you know, with expanding it, beyond yourself and teaching other youth to, you know, be a part of this. So yeah, yes, thank you. And that's inspiring too, because I'm like, what do I get to do? You know what I'm saying? And because my thing is, I'm not just to hear teach about the hair itself, but since I'm in the field and I've been in the field so long, I feel like it wouldn't be right for me to just cut off what I know about textured hair and just go into psychology, which I could have. That's what happened to look to put it together, because I saw something, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What would you like to say?
Yeah, well, I'm excited to think about what a world would look like where stylists are trained by mental health professionals, right? In terms of they're already doing some of these techniques that we had to go to school for, right? Being natural as lay health advisors, People go to stylists for support and care, but they don't always know what to say. I know I still even struggle as a psychologist to really figure out what to say, or even maybe this was your experience too, how to listen. Because I actually think listening is more difficult of a skill to learn than saying the right thing, because to really make sure someone feels understood is a real science. And so I'm just excited for us, right, as we build and collaborate and see that connection between hair and mental health, because, you know, women are way more likely to get their hair done than to see a psychologist. Women are way more likely to get their hair done than to even go to a doctor's appointment, period. People spend more time in the salon than a doctor's office. And so recognizing that there's a health and healing opportunity. I've never met someone who doesn't need healing, right? I don't know if that person exists. And so to really see the salon and hair care process as a healing opportunity is just, I guess, part of my life purpose and passion.
For sure. So what are the feedbacks you've been getting from hairstylists who've been taking your training and things like that? And what has been the results?
Ooh, great question. Yeah, in terms of the initial feedback, one, there are tears. I'm just going to put it out there that people feel so moved during the training, because people say, I always knew that I had such an important role or a purpose. Mm-hmm. But also kind of, I think, tears and like, I wish I learned this sooner. Mm. I could have been able to better deal with different things in my career, but also care for myself. I think that's an interesting thing that happens in teaching about mental health. They were like, ooh, I need to deal with this trauma that I have around my own hair. Mm. And even thinking about how that can impact other people. So that's initial information. But of course, I never learned this in school is a common statement. Like you said, we're not taught some of these important skills, life skills, in any school, whether it's K-12 or cosmetology school. Feedback is that I know a few stylists have started running basically like group therapy sessions in their salon. There's one stylist in San Diego named Misty, and what she's decided to do is collaborate with a therapist and herself and have these evening, like once all her clients are done, evening get-togethers for community building, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of recognizing that all she's hearing throughout the day has common themes. And so what would happen if these women got together and like problem solved together? Mm-hmm. So I've seen that happen. I've seen people who've gone through the training post on their hair pages more about mental health, right? I think that's something that happens, just the way that they market themselves to like, I'm really going to listen to you if you come to me, like, you know what I mean? Like, or even I noticed some stylists offering differences in their service. Like, do they want a quiet service versus do you want to have a conversation about your job, your family? Like, people actually now list that along with like knotless braids or lock styling. So to actually acknowledge that it's a service that's enhancing the experience as well.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about us, one of the industries that we get to touch people mentally and physically, you know, and to have a level of have the skills that you're sharing with your program is phenomenal. Because like you say, a lot of times they don't go to the doctor, but they'll go get their hair done. You know, and they're sitting hours to get the hair done versus go to the doctor, you know. So I really appreciate the work that you're doing. And, you know, I may look to have that with our salon and talk to them about having you there, because I think that'd be great.
I would love that.
Yes. So I look to talk to them and see what that would look like, because they are open to it. As I even shared about the impact of the industry and textured hair, and I presented it to them and they were like, so moved, because they didn't identify hair like that way, you know. Yeah. And to, you know, be educated in this way, you know, I think that would be so useful, so impactful, because the industry, if anything, when the whole pandemic happened, people did not stop getting their hair done. Okay. You know, they didn't, I mean, they may limit how much, no, people ate more, but I'm going to say they limited how much they ate, but you know, but it, there are some things that stopped, but hair did not stop.
Their school stopped, but not hair.
Yeah, exactly. School stopped, but not hair. It was like, you know, we masked up and, you know, we, you know, and that was just like that. But even then, that's when I knew I had to shift what I was doing. When the whole pandemic came around and I was like, well, my clients doing what they got to do. What I'm doing as an industry, and then I'm, you know, they didn't, some start seeing me, but then, you know, I can't touch them, you know, at that time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it started shifting me to where I am now with the texture of me, which I'm glad I did, but now I still, and now I have all of it available. So it's really important to provide a level of resource when they are not able to come to salon and deal with mental things and, you know, have therapy or whatever, and still have that. And who knows, the stylist could create something for herself, which she does, or he, barbers too, right? Have some services to support them. And I love what you said, because I think is reciprocal, because when they're looking to identify and support people with their hair journey, they discover something for themselves. So
yeah,
you got some great things going on here, and I love it. And I'm like, wow, like, this is phenomenal. So thank you for the work that you're doing and the impact. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the recognition. I think you get it. So it feels really special coming from you.
Totally get it. Yeah. Every time I keep talking, the chills, I'm like, ooh, boom, boom, you know, I love it all. And it's so moving and it's so needed. And, you know, it's, you know, being the pioneer of this work, this is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And if anything, is just to keep going, because even though people may not be saying anything right now, they are saying something and something is happening, you know? So really, thank you for the work that you're doing. And I'm like, man, I only have a certain amount of time we're supposed to talk today. We have to revisit this. And so just really grateful for you to be on the show. So before we complete today, I really want people to be able to know where they can find you and even your services. You know, please do tell for our listeners and our viewers.
Yeah. So I have a pretty active Instagram presence. So you can find me at Dr. Afia, so DR_AFIYA, or at Psychotherapy, so Psychotherapy. And on the website, psychotherapy.org. Those are the best ways to stay up to date with everything that's happening.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, and Liz, this is like a PS part of the show, because your practice, let's talk about your practice. Okay. So, you know, with that being said, like, well, it's about to complete, but hold up, pull it back a little bit. Tell me, when people, you know, do people also come to see you for therapy regarding the hair and things like that as well?
Yes, yes. So I have a private practice. It's called Maat Psychological Services. So Maat is an Egyptian deity or goddess of truth, order, balance, reciprocity, all these good things like morality and justice. And so people definitely come to see me for hair related issues. One of the mental health topics that not too many people specialize in is coping with alopecia. So I have quite a few clients who sought treatment from me in terms of the psychological distress and anxiety and depression that comes along with hair loss. And so that actually is a presenting concern for some of the people who've seen me for therapy, like just traditional therapy work that I do.
Well, we need to have Jada Pinkett come see you so she can, you know, I'm just saying, you know. It's nothing like when people can really understand, and I'm not saying her therapist wouldn't, but you know, I'm just saying. But that's awesome to provide that too, because I'm sure that people would like to go see a regular doctor, but it's something about someone who actually understands and can really speak to that, that really supports them. Wow. Yeah, that's phenomenal. I love it. Like, you know, your ancestors, you know, your auntie, you said who it was.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And, you know, sowing that seed into you and realizing like you could do both. So awesome. Awesome. I'm like, I don't even want to complete, but, and like I said, we'll do a be continued. This is phenomenal. And you know, we're going to be working together. Look.
Yes.
For sure. For sure. I just really thank you so much for being on our show. Such a gift, such a blessing. And just thank you. And for our listeners, you know, follow her on her IG. If you want to know about hair therapy, it's hair therapy.
Psychotherapy.
Yes. reach out to her. She's an amazing being. She's up to great work. And I greatly appreciate you. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Have a great one. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the show, please share it with others, post about it on your social media, leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon.